It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Waka waka, who wants to hear a funny ass joke?
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. Check out WFYI.org on Monday. You can hear a repeat of this, or if you're just logging in on Monday, hi, hello. And we have a blog, which you can check out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
The man who likes funny jokes, Kobe Slagle.
Hello, hello.
We'll talk a little more
as
the show goes on. But we have one guest in studio, another one on the way. It's in my contract, ladies and gentlemen, that I have to be surrounded by smart women at all times, and Kobe. And since Lynn and Emma cannot be here, I needed help. I needed some help, and that's why Stacey Sudeville is here, account executive here at WFYI. Hello.
Hi.
And then...
I'm nervous.
You shouldn't be
smart.
You've done this before.
Look who you're talking to. You're gonna be fine. And Fair Sweet Bianca is gonna be joining us because
she's en route right now.
She's on her way. It happens. So okay. Here's what's opening in theaters now, and then we'll talk about what Stacy saw, and I'll explain why Stacy got to see this, and I didn't. It just happens. Opening in theaters, Like Crazy, which is the young teenagers in love film with Anton Yelchin and Felicity Jones. We have Love Crime with Kristen Scott Thomas and Ludivine Sagnier. Hope I'm saying that right. Pardon my French. The young girl from Swimming Pool and Kristen Scott Thomas. And it's called Love Crime. God, I hope so. Happy Feet 2 in 3D. And in 2D, I have not heard from the kids film correspondent on, well, of course she wants to see that. It's Tap Dancing Penguins.
Yes.
She wants to see that.
Who wouldn't?
I don't know. We'll see. Maya Monkey, ready for movies? No?
She loves Sesame Street.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
We've watched a few movies. Probably things she shouldn't be watching, but we're hoping.
How old is she?
18 months.
I've said the first year.
Yeah.
18 months, not bad.
She used to perk up at the intro to It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which is also a classical song,
yes,
so it's
yes.
not a problem.
Okay, okay, here comes...
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know, putting a parent on the line, on the spot. What's the one thing you've watched with Maya Monkey?
Oh, well, when she was a baby, I should not lump Eric because he got mad at me. I was watching, I think, either True Blood or Dexter. But she was a baby. I mean, she was probably sleeping.
You hope she was sleeping.
So. I hope. Yeah. Oh, God. I probably scarred her.
No. This is now parenting hour.
Right.
I've said, and I'm sure there will be child psychologists out there and uptight parents that will say otherwise, I think you can watch anything in front of the child for the first year.
Yeah, I agree.
We have, the one I remember was the electronic swing, which is one of the greatest inventions for parents.
Yes.
Quite possibly ever. And Lynn came home, and Emma was asleep in the
right.
rocking chair while I'm watching the final shootout from The Wild Bunch. Things came to a head when she was probably about Maya's age, about a year and a half. She was not in the room Notice how we preface it. We sound like Penn State. But she was in her little the play saucer.
We call that Maya's space saucer.
Space saucer.
She looks like Captain Picard.
Right. She can walk around and do all the things. Okay. So she was in the other room, so she did not hear it, or she did not see it. I don't think she heard it. But Lynn heard it when she came home and I was watching The Exorcist.
Oh, yeah. I think you told me that.
And because I live by the theory of whatever's at the top of the DVD pile, I'm watching that regardless of, well, not anymore. So
right.
I had to start monitoring my viewing habits.
I mean, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is, like, we won't watch that in front of her anymore because we don't really want her to be, like, narcissistic and borderline psychopath.
I understand that. See? So if you
but
learn
the intro is fantastic.
If you've learned anything today, ladies and gentlemen, it's that. So now, also opening in theaters today is the latest film from Lars von Trier, Melancholia, which, as I found out, is not only in theaters. Of course, it's playing at Keystone Art Cinema and Indie Lounge on the north side. Mm-hmm. But you can also download it legally.
Legally,
you can legally download it. So this happens sometimes. I think, like,
for free or for a fee?
There was a fee we paid. We did it through our UVerse on demand system, and it was like $10 to $12.
Movie ticket prices.
Or
you're seeing it at home.
Yeah, or you know, if you got a pass. Like yours truly, and you wind up buying a bucket of popcorn and a few beers. So either way, it's there.
Yes.
So, but I've realized that I am old, and apparently I need to have a movie in a disc, not in a beta tape, because I tried downloading and I failed.
Well, we downloaded it. I thought about this. We downloaded it from our TV. You were trying it on your computer, right?
Yeah, I tried it on a laptop and then a home computer, and just not.
Yeah, so maybe we need to do a cable tutorial for you on how to use on demand.
Yeah. Huh?
Oh, you're going to help in on this, Dr. Slagle? Is that it? You hooked yours up?
Lack of
answer. Oh, it took you a few seconds to answer that. You did?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah. I'm not downloaded nothing, but.
You haven't downloaded anything.
I'm not downloaded nothing.
Nothing.
Fine, young folks, you may. Yes, you can. You can also show me how to record one show and watch another channel at the same time.
That is revolutionary. I'm trying to get my parents on board DVR.
And my VCR still blinks noon. Anyway, you're almost old enough to know that. All right. So anyway, I didn't see Melancholia, so I thought let's bring in somebody who has, and that would be you, Stacey Studeville. As I found out, this is your first Lars von Trier film, and it stars Kirsten Dunst and John Hurt, and always the visually stunning Charlotte Rampling and Kiefer Sutherland, and play the audio.
Won't even bother saying how late you are.
So sorry, guys.
Right. We're only there. That was 2 hours ago.
Toast to the bride and the groom.
You look glowing today. Never seen you look so happy.
I'm thrilled about this wedding. And I know it's costing John a lot of money.
It's not about the cost. I thought you really wanted this.
But I do. What star is that? The red one.
I don't know.
What's going on, Justine?
It's a planet that has been hiding behind the sun. Now it passes by us.
I just have one thing to say. Enjoy it while it lasts. I myself hate marriages.
Gabby, please. Is everyone in your family start raving mad?
I smile and I smile and I smile.
You're lying to all of us.
I'm not really happy.
This could have been a lot different.
Yes, Michael, they could have been.
Just forget it. Stop dreaming, Justine.
What are we excited about?
Tomorrow night.
That's right.
I'm afraid of that stupid plan.
And it is not going to hit us.
You promise? Life is only on Earth. And not for long.
I don't think you know that at all. Sometimes I hate you so much. Justine, I'm going to do this the right way.
I'm afraid that the planet will hit us anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So as we learn from the audio, it's a wedding. It's of course, no wedding can go off without a hitch. A few hitches are thrown. Kirsten Dunst is getting married. I should also mention Charlotte Gainsbourg for you fans of Antichrist, which was Lars von Trier's last film, I believe, before making this one. But anyway, there's the first half of the film, wedding. Second half of the film, end of the world as we know it. I'm not going to quote R.E.M. So Stacey, your thoughts.
Okay.
Am I right that it's, you know, second half is all right?
Yes. Well, I prepared a little something.
She's prepared a statement.
I prepared a statement.
Do you have the photo flash sound effect?
Oh, no, I don't.
I know. Okay. Sorry. All right.
Well, any time that I've been on with you, well, the last time, we had a conversation.
Right.
And so now you told me that you weren't able to get the movie, and
so
I was
you,
like, oh,
yeah,
gotta,
you gotta represent.
I have to review
so
this.
So you wrote
movie.
It. It's okay
so
to write this down.
I have some thoughts.
Please do.
So I will share.
Please do.
Okay, so first of all, I saw Melancholia almost 2 weeks ago, and I'm still thinking about it, which I will start off my review by saying that.
Right.
So everyone pretty much knows the basic plot and nuances of this movie from reading other professional reviewers.
Oh, stop.
So I'm going to keep it simple. Here's the plot. There's a planet called Melancholia that is on collision course with Earth. Everyone is sad, depressed, and mean, and not because of the impending destruction of Earth, but because life is hard, etc.
Well, that's a lot of Lars von Trier's film, but go
right,
on.
Right, exactly. Okay, so overall, I feel like the movie was very well acted. It was aesthetically beautiful. It was haunting. And like I said, I haven't stopped thinking about it. I was really taken aback by how much my mood was manipulated by this movie, like physically.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll probably catch some flack from the listeners for this statement. But at the end, I was so tense and like overwrought with emotion that I literally could not breathe. I could not watch the last 10 minutes of the film. I literally had to get up and leave the room. I went into the bedroom, and I had to turn on How I Met Your Mother because I was a mess, okay? So
tell me you finished it. At least you finished it.
Well, I...
Eventually you finished it.
Eventually.
Wow.
It was okay. Not... Yes, it was hard. It was just so sad and depressing. The movie was sad and depressing. And so overall, there was a very incredible, visceral effect that this movie had.
Now, when I first talked to you about this,
yes,
you said you hated it, but you couldn't stop thinking
about
it.
Oh, yes.
Has that changed?
No, yes. No, I still hate it. And
you
still
hate
it,
but you still can't stop thinking.
Okay, so here's my bottom line with this movie.
Right.
Okay, so as a mom, as a new mom.
Oh, here it comes.
Yes, I have a really hard time seeing kids in peril.
I know other moms that are like this, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But I mostly don't appreciate when a movie adds a kid just to pack that extra emotional punch. Because the thing that I feel about the movie, and that Eric and I have talked about a lot, is most of the characters were pretty two-dimensional. They were not easy to like people. And so it was really hard to connect with them emotionally. And so what did Lars von Trier do? He added horses and kids to make you feel something.
I see.
Right? So I feel like it was kind of like that part was really contrived. So that really bothered me. So here are some takeaways because I've had time to reflect on this movie.
Takeaways.
Okay. Number one, everyone dies and that sucks. So that was
how is that? That's more like of a plot point than a takeaway.
I think that's
no, it's a takeaway.
That might actually be a spoiler, really. But go on.
Oh no, you can tell within the. I mean,
go on.
Right. I mean,
so like you're telling people that you have to come to grips with the fact that
yeah,
you're
that's
die
what the whole
and, yeah that sucks.
That's what the whole movie is about. Is like this overarching melancholia that you feel because everyone is gonna die.
Okay.
That sucks. I don't think I will ever spend time on another LVT.
I disagree. I think you should give Lars von Trier another shot.
Okay.
With
LVT.
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 I know an LVT.
Yeah, Lars von Trier.
No, I was going to say Luke Van Tress. Hi, Luke.
Oh, nice.
Hi,
okay.
Luke. Bet he's not a heavy Scandinavian filmmaker.
With mother issues, yeah.
Oh, yes.
So,
go ahead.
No, so... Now that I'm a mom, again, my free time is at a premium, right? And so right now in my life, I don't think I will choose to watch sad, depressing, terrible people do awful things to each other until the world ends.
Well, then that means I'm going to let you borrow my Lars von Trier films.
Okay.
Because there, I would say that's a fascinating first film to watch with Lars von Trier.
Yeah.
My first film with experience of Mr. Trier, von Trier's work was Breaking the Waves. And this was the film that put Emily Watson on the map.
Okay.
Stalin Sarsgaard got known here in the States. And this was a couple. They had the one of the longest weddings shot in cinema. Right up there with The Deer Hunter. And both of those, to quote Emma, both of those films don't end good. So
okay, I'll watch it.
But I would say she's amazing in that. He's amazing in that. But it is also gut-wrenching to watch.
Ugh, okay.
It's kind of how basically he becomes paralyzed because of a work accident, and she is willing to do anything for him. Anything.
Ugh.
And it's kind of, how far is she going to go to do this? So there's that. There's Dancer in the Dark with Bjork.
Right.
The Lars von Trier musical with Bjork and Catherine Deneuve and David Morse and Joel Grey, which is also, that was also a polar. He's a very polarizing filmmaker,
yes,
which I love.
Yeah.
There's no mediocrity in Lars von Trier. You either love his work or you hate it. And there's something to be said about that, that you have that much of an effect as an artist. So there's Dancer in the Dark. Then there's also Dogville with Nicole Kidman and a huge cast that is kind of a statement on America as well as kind of village mob mentality.
Right.
There was also the sequel to that, Mandalay. Nicole Kidman didn't want to work, so Bryce Dallas Howard took a role.
Oh, okay.
And there's been other films of his throughout, but those are some of the main. And then Antichrist, which came out a couple years ago, which was the first von Trier film where I don't think I got it, even with really strong performances by Charlotte Gainsbourg and Willem Dafoe. Plus, that thing is really, it's not too often I get to watch a film with the hands over the eye, fingers over the eye. This is me doing this, and I can't tell you what happened because there's mixed company. So I won't.
Well,
I'm saying if I bring in Lars von Trier films once I open the boxes
in my
basement.
Maybe give me like a month or two. Yeah.
A month or two.
Yeah, I just need a minute. Well, and that's what I said. Is like the thing with Melancholia is I feel like I didn't want to give that movie as much thought and consideration as I have.
But you have.
But I have, and there's something to be said about that. And so I feel like overall as a movie, it was not the best movie I've ever seen as an experience. Is like a 4-star experience. Like, I mean, I've never had that kind of reaction to a movie.
Good.
That, like, gripping reaction, right?
Cool.
Also, I have remembered how awesome Kirsten Dunst is.
She won Best Actress. She won Best Actress at the Cannes Film Festival for this. And well-deserved.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's a matter of the proper material coming your way.
Right. Well, I just picked a couple of my favorites. So Virgin Suicides is really excellent.
Boy, and that's a cold clam. Talk about a cold picture. I mean, they're pretty and all, but there's
kind
a lot of
breakout,
boys pining.
I think.
That, well, no, Interview with the Vampire.
Oh, Interview with the Vampire.
And
forgot,
Little
yeah.
Women. You know, those were kind of.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hi.
Here,
hi.
When the turn her mic on. Hi,
my
Ferris Wheat Beyond.
I'm
going to get to you.
And I would
so now.
You gotta wait your turn. Just because you know the engineer. Huh.
But she was had a small role in Eternal Sunshine. I just love that movie.
Yes.
Also, Bring It On. She
yeah.
was so awesome in Bring It On. That was an
yes.
incredible cheerleader movie.
Marie Antoinette.
Wow, that's another polarizing picture from Sofia Coppola.
I didn't see it.
Great look. Yeah. Let him eat cake. No, it's fine.
And I have to bring up this gem on Lifetime, Kirsten Dunst, 15 and Pregnant.
That's also been reissued on DVD because of Lifetime great movie titles.
15 and Pregnant.
I don't own that one. I own Bring It On. Don't judge.
Bring It On is really good. I'm telling you. It was a good movie. It's kind of like Mean Girls.
Kind of.
Mean Girls is better, but.
But it was directed by Peyton Reed, who later did Down With Love, which I also enjoyed, and it captured that world, just like it captured the world of high school.
Right, exactly.
Cheer. Car washing not long enough.
So anyway, that's my take on Melancholia.
So, do we have audio? You can give.
Do you
have something different? Because she's got conflicted views on this.
Yeah, I do.
I'm going to say.
Yeah, it's not hella bad.
I'm gonna go with that.
Or you could go with
just an excuse for you to play audio.
It's awful. I don't even know what else to say. It's just awful. Don't be bothered by it.
I have to find the article in The Onion to print out for you, but it was 24 great films that you can't watch a second time.
Oh, I think I looked at that. Yeah, I will never watch this movie again. Oh, and I have to say, it's beautiful, though. It is beautiful. It is stunning, stunning, beautiful imagery.
There you go.
Yeah. So.
So you heard her. Take whatever you can and give it a shot. So.
Yes.
Bianca Dreyer, how are you?
Hang on a second.
What?
Wait a minute. Oh.
Oh, for God's sake.
Wait a minute.
What?
I had an intro.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. You didn't say this before the show? You did not.
You're right.
You
I didn't
not.
Say that. I thought.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let me set this up again. Ladies and gentlemen, our second guest critic is in, because I have to have smart ladies around me at all times. It's in my contract. And apparently, I shouldn't even be surprised that this guest has her own intro music. This is the first. I was not consulted on this one. I want it noted. I'm sure I will approve of it. You know, it is film sociology, but no. let's hear the intro for our guest.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
I love it.
Hi, Bianca Dreyer. How are you?
I'm great.
And I'm shocked that there's gambling going on here.
You're winning, sir.
So, how are you doing, dear?
I'm good. I'm a little tired, though, because I went to the Breaking Dawn premiere last night.
You went at midnight?
I went at midnight. I went to the Metropolis in Plainfield, so that was like an hour away from home.
Why did you go there? Or was that the only theater in town?
No, my friend lives down in that area. So.
All right, how many people were dressed up as brides?
Actually, none. I heard that there were brides, and I was a little disappointed because I was like, oh, I want to see someone in a wedding dress, but no.
And well, and they're probably, maybe they all went to Melancholia, but anyway, that's
another bride movie. How fitting.
Yeah, there you go. and what was the cougar ratio at your midnight screening? We got that
you
one, right?
You mean the moms who are really good friends with their daughters?
No, the cougar ratio.
Oh.
Because they're the ones that cheer for the shirtless werewolves. Louder than
that's
anybody
weird.
Else. So
I like your description of it too. That's funny.
So
because I imagine a cougar would be really good friends with her daughter.
Yeah.
Borrowing, exactly. Stealing clothes. Yeah.
Exactly.
So the next time us testosterone guys make snide comments on somebody considerably younger, we're gonna bring up this film. That's just all there is to it. Us testosterone guys over here with the estrogen girls
with
over there.
Women.
So, because it's good to know you're all capable of it as well. So, okay, it's Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1. You think it was Harry Potter? So
you would.
So let's play the trailer and then. We'll let Fair Sweet Bianca give her a review, and maybe I have a little nugget of joy. Two nuggets of joy, but we'll see.
Measure of time with you will be long enough, but we'll start with forever.
It's impossible.
A
Okay, so we got a lot of crashes, a lot of string sounds, no word, a couple
until,
words
until the very end,
couple words.
Well, I think
it was that epic.
I think it was. I think it was. Words. I think there were pause. I think no. I think that was a pause in mid line for one of the three leads, and I think also during that. I think also during that time, Ms. Stewart was adjusting her hair. Yeah, I know. I'm doing jokes about the first film. Whatever.
I'm pretty sure Kristen Stewart was frowning the whole time.
She's on your list, too.
She is. She's probably looking uncomfortable and angry.
I have to ask. I'm sorry. Before I get to you, beyond, Kristen Stewart or Benjamin Button?
Oh, my gosh. That's so hard.
Yes, I know.
I hate them both equally.
All right, so we'll ponder that. Maybe you can answer it on another show. So, Fair Sweet Bianca, you went to a midnight screening of this film. I assume it was packed.
It was very packed.
Were there any boys?
Not so many.
And I bet
it was boyfriends.
Yeah,
I'll say
they were company. Fathers were there.
I don't, maybe.
No, they were just creepy old guys.
Checking out the cougars.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Okay.
Yeah, another. I'm going to say, we got there like 10:30, and I want to say there was at least about 500 people there already.
Wow.
I mean, the line wrapped around the entire theater to about the backside. Uh-huh. And that was just for the 1201 people. The 1202 people who were standing on the other side of the building had to wait until we entered in.
So they had two screenings.
No?
Two theaters.
They had, no, every single theater in, or every single...
Every single screen?
Every single screen.
Every
yes.
screen that
Every
screened
screen
it last night?
Had it on at the rave at Metropolis.
That's a 12 or a 10?
I have no idea.
But every screen at midnight.
Every screen at midnight.
Man.
And I'm going to say they were all packed. But
meanwhile, Black Friday is happening Black Thursday at midnight.
Wow.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
hey, Kobe, I think you owe her a really good dinner because you did not have to go to this.
I think so too.
Just say okay.
Just say okay. Yeah, say okay.
Okay.
Yep. You know what? You could go find another steak.
I could find another
you
steak.
You could find another
steak. We're gonna talk about that.
We'll see.
More
we'll
on that later.
We'll see if we have time for that. So anyway, Bella wedding, Bella pregnant, more guys with anger issues fighting over Bella and her her love child.
And Child movie was phenomenal.
What made it phenomenal?
Everything.
Shut up. don't beat her answers.
No, you know, I think what was exciting about this one is I took some notes here.
It's okay.
The wedding scene is the trailers don't do it any justice.
Well, it's a trailer.
I know, but it's I did have to fight back tears because it's, you know, you wait for them to get married and they finally do. I lost my train of thought.
You're just thinking about the wedding. I know.
The consummation. We know the fight, the bite, the lip biting, the glitter. What? I don't know. That's why I'm asking. So after the wedding. Well, we kind of know what happens after
the
wedding.
Okay, they go on their honeymoon, and okay, she gets pregnant. That's no surprise,
right?
But you know, I will say what the cool part of this film, which the other films don't bring in, is the
words.
I know.
It's a radio show.
There, I know. I'm sorry. Bella and Edward, for the first time, actually kind of hate each other. For a little bit.
I see.
Whereas in the first three, it's lovey-dovey, I can't get enough of you, I want to be with you forever. And in this one...
It's like real emotions.
There are real emotions in this one, and it's all over the baby, because I don't think it's any big secret. This baby is hurting her, is technically killing her.
Uh-huh. Right.
Because it's half vampire, half human.
Right.
And, you know, Edward's getting angry that he has no say-so in whether or not, you know, this baby... lives or dies, because if the baby technically lives, then Bella will die, and vice versa.
That's a situation.
Yeah, it is a situation. And also what's cool about this one is you actually get insight into the wolf pack for the first time, because you don't really... I don't know if you guys...
They just kind of show up in the forest, and they look menacing,
and, like,
and then...
Yeah.
And then they go, and they're shirtless, the and then they go away.
They're really big into that, looking menacing. And
wolf
whatnot.
Pack. You know, Zach Galifianakis, also in the wolf pack. Okay,
but,
so
you get a better insight into how the wolf pack works together.
Okay.
More so into the treaty between the wolves and why they have to, you know, stick with each other or follow the alpha wolf and whatever they say. And there's issues with Jacob now because there are some parts of the treaty that are broken and the wolves go after Bella. And Jacob loves Bella.
Dun, dun, dun.
Exactly.
And then Michael Sheen shows up. So. All right, I have to ask, because I did this with Harry Potter. Because it's two parts. They couldn't make this a three and a half hour epic?
You know, they could have.
Yes.
And I've read the book.
That was gonna be, you've read all of them, right?
I have read all of them. Okay. And, you know, honestly, there's, at the point that they ended at in this film, there's not that much more left. However, they're adding more because they're making the baby older in the next one.
Ah,
if that
okay.
makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas in the book, she's not as old.
Okay.
So I think that they're going to play on that to kind of...
They're going to kind of do like an epilogue, like here's where
yeah.
all the characters...
Uh-oh. Yes.
Child in peril.
Child in peril, yes.
Stacey won't see it.
Not going to dig
I
that.
I will not see it.
Not going to dig right. that
Just
at all,
it to
huh?
the list.
Uh-oh. All right, so overall, I think you have audio for Fair Sweet Bianca's review of Twilight.
That's right.
Okay, well, I probably shouldn't have played the trailer. That's okay, but we had this. But of course, Fair Sweet Bianca, I thought of you when I pulled this audio. This is Riff Trax and their treatment. You don't have it ready, do you?
I've got it.
Okay, here's Riff Trax and their treatment of Twilight.
Come, my love, we have a lot of pausing to do.
And stammering.
Maybe I shouldn't be dating such an old man. Mm. It's gross.
I should be thoroughly repulsed.
That's what Sun Yi says every day.
Kids.
Hey, happy birthday.
I bought you a handful of beads. Jim Carter.
He's doing his impression of the millions of boyfriends who had to sit through this movie.
Some people.
Some people. No giant pause necessary.
They had to come up with some kind of plan.
Kind of plan. It's not that damn hard.
Boo! You suck!
Boo! We hate you, Bella!
Boo!
Listen, you've been looking kind of pale lately.
Wow, that's like having Pete Wentz tell you you've been looking like kind of a douche lately.
You can't protect me.
Well, I can make a pretty good attempt at it. I think that
through
if I...
everything.
Would you please get all the way through a sentence without a giant pause?
I don't want you to come.
Our Suburban's gonna be crowded enough as it is, and if you come, I won't have room for my comic books. Well done, son. The chest shaving, I mean.
It's like a huge hole has been punched through my chest.
And while that feels kind of bad, I'm not sure why it causes me to sound like a goat being slaughtered.
Oh, I hope Dad doesn't see the vampire truck nuts I put in the back.
I think I know those guys.
I used to work in an STD clinic. Do you like TV?
Yes.
Do you like butterflies?
Yes.
What does this thing do?
Don't touch that.
Do you like my hair?
You asked that before. Yes.
Well, I'm really not into the whole cougar thing, you know?
Oh, there's a town you should not move to, then. I regret not buying more shirts!
Does this bug you? I'm not touching you.
Hobbit lay here. And the other. They crawled. Their hands were bound.
Thank you, Aragorn.
The deer tick on my arm is kind of like a vampire. This is for you, Justin Bieber. I love you.
Drowning, the only way she could get more pale and sad.
And theaters full of shrieking teenagers learn the hard way that some things are better left to the imagination.
Arrow sent me to see what was taking so long.
Wait, aren't you going to stay to find out? Oh, God, look out behind you. It's a vampire.
Remarkable.
That's how I react whenever I get a text message.
Because it doesn't make sense. for you to love me.
The Twilight series summed up in 9 words.
Maybe if there was less pausing, the show would be 20 minutes shorter. All right, enough ribbing. Let's take a break, and we'll talk about what's new on DVD and Blu-ray. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
This weekend on TV and online, Drew Brees leads 2-7 Zazu Zazu up against Matt Ryan, Ray Rice, and the 6-3 Tommy Wiseau All-Stars in the second annual Film Sociology Silver State Game. Will the All-Stars continue their streak of dominance and take the lead atop their division? Or will Zazu pull an upset for the ages? Stakes are high as the two teams battle for fantasy football bragging rights and a frozen steak. Tune in next week for a wrap-up of the game.
Now let's go to Scott Hoke and Jarrett Moore for a preview of the big game.
Here's the bottom line. Drew Brees is going to have to throw the football if Zazu is going to have any chance at all in winning this game. Now, you got a couple of receivers that have not done squat all year long, like Reggie Wayne and Robert Meacham. And with the offensive problems they've been having in New England, Aaron Hernandez isn't seeing the ball nearly as much either. But maybe that's a good thing for the Jets' defense this week. They're preparing to face New England on Sunday night. Now, on top of all that, everybody knows Zazu has failed to run the ball successfully all season long. They stink. That's why I'm picking the All-Stars to win this game.
You know what, Scott? Those are all good points. But I think you've got to look at the other side of the coin here. The Giants D is facing San Francisco this week, one of the most potent offenses in the league. Ingram is hurt. Pettigrew is hurt. Edwards is hurt. And Matt Ryan has to go into New Orleans to face Drew Brees and the Saints. And you know how well they play in front of their home crowd at the Superdome. Yeah, Ray Rice is probably going to run all over the Seahawks. But I'm looking for Zazu Zazu to pull an upset this week. Reggie Wayne, he's been scoreless the past few weeks, but he's facing a Jacksonville defense that's almost as bad as the Colts. I'm looking for him to finally get back in the end zone this week. I also think that Vinatieri is going to see some more action, and definitely keep an eye on James Starks. He's going to have a big game against Minnesota.
Thanks, Scott and Jarrett. Zazu head coach Kobe Slagle held a press conference early Friday afternoon. Here's what the coach had to say about this week's matchup with the Tommy Wiseau All-Stars.
This is going to be a big game for us. You know, this is the big rivalry game every year between Zazu and the Tommy Wiseau All-Stars. Big rivalry game. The fans get real into it. The fans have been great all season long, and our guys have been working real hard all week long in practice, preparing for Sunday's matchup. Coach Soucy, great head coach. I think his record pretty much speaks for itself. They got a great young quarterback in Matt Ryan, a great group of core receivers and backs. But, you know, by the same token, we got a lot of great players on our team, too. Drew is ready to go for Sunday. Defense has been working real hard all week long in practice, watching a lot of game film, preparing for the Wiseau All-Stars. And it should be a good game come Sunday at 1 o'clock. Hopefully, by the end of the day, Monday, we will... We'll be bringing home a silver steak.
Well, there you have it, folks. This promises to be a matchup not soon forgotten in the North Meridian League and fantasy football in general. In Indianapolis, I'm Tracy Mitchell, Film Sociology News. Back to you guys in the studio.
I got to find the news division of this show. Thank you, Tracy Mitchell, for your Aaron Andrews meets Susie Colbert impression. Inappropriate hotel camera comments here. The reason why we played that, well, the reason why Kobe played that, we're going to play that last week, but we got a little long in the show, and I had my umpteenth interview with Robert Irvine to play. I'm sorry. And by the way, thank you to everybody who came out to Clues on Wednesday night. That was a lot of fun. And if you see me on the street, I'll tell you what happened on stage. Or you can give money to the Moselle Sanders Foundation, and I'll tell you what happened. Anyway, our teams played last week in the Film Sociology Bowl, the Silver State game, and, I emerged victorious.
That's right.
The Tommy Wiseau All-Stars defeated Zazu Zazu, and, thank you for a tough match, Coach Slagle, mm-hmm. and, apparently we had momentum and the fire and the passion and, you know, we figured if we scored more points than the other team that we were probably going to win the game. So, and what happens with this now annual, we're the first rivalry in the North Meridian League. So y'all Yeah. Figure out your own.
Just out of curiosity, what are both of your records?
I am now 2-8.
Okay. I think we've had, 2-8. We've had 10 games. What about you, Matt?
I don't know. What am I? 6-3?
You're 7-3.
7-3.
Oh, we're tied. 7-3.
Yeah. So thank you. Now, part of the bet is, yes, a raw steak given to. Well, because, you know, we're very busy people, and I would love to sit and have a steak dinner with Kobe, but I think Kobe would rather have a steak dinner with Fair Sweet Bianca than me. I totally understand that. I would rather have it with Mrs. Sosi, as we all know. So instead, a wrapped raw piece of meat, because you don't want to throw an unwrapped piece of meat. That's kind of icky. And so you presented that to me today, and I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. It was a steak well earned. free steak tastes better. So I'm going to be grilling that up over the weekend. Also, this was the original bet on last year, is if I win, then Kobe has to watch
Freaky Stuff.
Not necessarily. You make it sound like I'm going to show you a snuff film, which I'm not. last year, when we defeated your team 2 years in a row, I showed you Hitchcock Psycho.
Yeah.
Not nearly as freaky as you thought, right?
Nope, it wasn't.
So I will find another Hitchcock film for you.
Okay.
See? Because I'm going to be fair. I don't want to show him Saw 6 or any of that nonsense.
Yeah, nobody needs that.
Nobody needs that.
Yeah, no one needs to see those movies
ever. See? Exactly. So, I also know.
This just in from the mom.
I also know that this has not opened the gateway for
future scary, freaky stuff.
No,
it does not.
Now, to be fair, if Kobe, and this is the other bet, because I love that this prize all involves me, is, you know, if I win, Kobe has to watch a movie of my choosing. If Kobe ever wins, I will give him a Pam Grier movie to watch. And I think
you did last year as a consolation.
Because I was a nice guy. Not so nice this year.
Gave me coffee.
I did give you coffee, and you loved it.
Yeah.
And I think now, if you should happen to win, you have to watch a Pam Grier movie, and Fair Sweet Bianca, you have to watch it with him. And, you know, she's done at least 3 women in prison films. So there's that. So anyway, that was the wrap up. That's the post Silver State game wrap up 7 days later. Let's move on to what is new on DVD and Blu-ray. You're going to hear Fresh Air right after this show. And there's going to be an interview with the writer and director of Beginners. That's the film with Ewan McGregor and Christopher Plummer, loosely based on the filmmaker's life. It's a grown man. He's a grown old man who, when his mother dies, his father
when
comes
his wife
out. When the mother dies, father comes out of the closet.
Yes.
In his
70s.
I didn't
know which grown man you were talking about.
No, I was talking about the Ewan McGregor character.
Yes.
Finds out his dad, played by Christopher Plummer, finally comes out after his wife dies. And so there's that story. Also on DVD is Bellflower, which I got to watch last night. And a little bit of mumblecore. I called it Son of Rambo meets Kids. You have two guys who want to create a post-apocalyptic road warrior car with and create their own flamethrower. They make their own flamethrower as well. But they also meet girls that it's not that they get in the way, but it's kind of the standard mumblecore story of, you know, 20-somethings who get caught up in different situations. One involves these new girls in their lives. Cheating will happen. And the last 5 minutes are supposed to be a strong payoff, not strong enough. Looks cool. And this is one of those films that as I watch it and I'm not caring for anybody in the film, my brain says, well, would I have cared more if I were 10 years younger or 20 years, 20, because there's some films like I'm sure I would have loved The Hangover even more if I was younger than Kobe, but I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And probably,
yeah.
But I already went through that with Animal House and Airplane and all the Borkies and that sort of thing.
You know what I feel sorry for? Girlfriends of guys who go to Vegas now, because I feel like every plane trip to Vegas is probably full of dudes who are like, let's make this The Hangover, yeah, wildest weekend ever,
no.
Tiger, baby, yeah.
I don't want a tiger, and I don't want to find a baby, and I'm going to get punched out by Mike Tyson singing bad Phil Collins tunes.
Yeah.
As opposed to good Phil Collins tunes.
Right, and then let's think about, conversely, the group of women movie
Bridesmaids.
So you're
going to be Bridesmaids?
Okay, yeah. What group of women are ever going to say, yeah, I want to go try on some Bridesmaids dresses and poop myself? I mean,
not me.
Right. Can I say that on radio?
You just did.
Yeah, that's. Why do people ask if they can say something on radio
after
they've
said
it?
Well, you saw my pause. I'm like, can I? Oh, I don't know. But you know.
You did.
I did.
No, you're fine. You should be all
but
right.
But I do think that that's interesting, like, all of the comedic situations that those women get. I mean, they don't even make it to Vegas.
Well, because I kind of remember, I was 8 when Animal House came out, and for a lot of dopey single-digit kids, that was our impression of college, that it was just going to be one giant frat party.
Can't wait to get to college!
Exactly, and no, it's not, no matter how hard you try.
No.
And you try poorly. So, speaking of college, also on DVD and Blu-ray this week, Larry Crown, the new film... The second feature film directed and this time starring Tom Hanks. Mm. Tom Hanks plays a guy who works at a big box store. He is relieved of his occupational duties, and he does what any 50-something whose wife left him does. He enrolls in college, community college. This film is also co-written by Nia Vardalos, who gave us My Big Fat Greek Wedding and nothing of any value ever since. And it's funny, I remember watching this, and this was a film because I understand why it was made. It seems like at times it's a PSA for people who are economically in tough times. Is, you know, there's always college. It almost seems like a promotional film that you would watch at orientation, you know, about the Ball State University or IU, and here at IU we have this, you know, sort of. And it's and of course in this film, all the college girls are Manic Pixie Dream Girls, and all of the staff looks like Julia Roberts and Pam Grier. Want to go to that school, wish that school was around. And I could see, and everybody in college is interesting. When you got Fez from That 70s Show actually putting in a good performance as a Manic Pixie Dream Girl's boyfriend, I mean, it's a nice film. I remember That Thing You Do, that was the first film Tom Hanks directed. My buddy Laura referred to it as the nicest movie ever made. And it was, because it was light and it was thoughtful, and there really wasn't a foil or a menace or an antagonist.
The antagonist was the song. Every time the song played, I
no,
was
the
like,
pro-
oh.
The thing that, no, but the, I think that film works because by the time you, I didn't get sick of the song by the time the film was over.
That's true.
Because they play it a lot.
Yes.
So, but
no, I mean, that's a good point. It's like, really, it was later.
When you have a film about a song, it's got to really work.
Yeah.
And in this one, it has the same tone, but I think those who are downtrodden probably rolled their eyes quite a bit. I remember seeing this in the middle of a very underwhelming summer season, and it was a little breath of cinematic air to, you know, ease up on the 3D superhero movies that we had to sit through. So I cut it a little bit of slack. Probably more people will see it at home than they did in theaters. Okay, some older titles on Blu-ray. And Fair Sweet Bianca, I think you will approve of a few of these. I think this news story happened because of the 50th anniversary of West Side Story coming out this week. Of course, Robert Wagner apparently killed Natalie Wood.
Yes.
So says the captain of the ship.
They're reopening the
30
case.
30 years later.
And Christopher Walken was on board.
Yes, because it was the cast of Brainstorm, her last film, which I saw in theaters when I was 12. But anyway, West Side Story, Sharks and Jets, directed by Robert Wise, won Best Picture. Natalie Wood's in it. Marnie Nixon sings over it. Rita Moreno won an Oscar. Kobe, you will be watching this film sometime very soon.
Yeah.
We have it. We'll watch it.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll watch it. And you will like it.
There it is.
Also on Blu-ray, My Fair Lady.
I am liking this list.
good. Okay. Well, that's probably where it stops. Because now we have Evil Dead 2. Sam Raimi in there. The Krzysztof Kozlowski Three Colors Trilogy. That would be white, blue, and red. Saw those. Polish films. Fritz Lang's Metropolis. We'll see. Jean Renoir's Rules of the Game. That's, of course, his masterpiece. Look at bourgeois life in France before World War II. Get Katie Holmes Out of the Pit. The Tom Cruise Collection, which includes That's right. I know she. Well, would you rather be in Tom Cruise's pit or star in Jack and Jill? But in the Tom Cruise collection, we have Collateral. Really good film. Like him in that. Days of Thunder.
Uh-huh.
Minority Report.
Nice.
Top Gun. And War of the Worlds. You got, I think, three pretty good films and two not so much.
Can you remind me what Collateral is?
That's
about?
The one with him and Jamie Foxx, where he's the hitman. Michael Mann directed it.
Yeah.
Because that was, because if you remember, Jamie Foxx was nominated twice that year, once for Collateral, and then, of course, his big win for Ray. But,
yes.
But yeah,
okay.
He got to play.
I do remember that
movie.
It was good.
Little against tight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty tight thriller. You know, last 10 minutes could have tightened up.
Was he a cab driver? Not yeah. Tom Cruise. Tom
yeah.
Cruise was the bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx I remember. Was that was a good movie.
Yeah. So
I agree.
So you got those three and you got the other two. So Scientologists, go take some of your money and go spend that. The Spy Kids 3-pack, because Spy Kids 4 is coming out next week.
They don't want to do a 4-pack?
Well,
no.
They probably will.
No, not eventually, but not now. Since 4 is coming out, this is an excuse for you to buy the first three. And then you can look at Jessica Alba.
And then you can buy them all four of them again next year at this time.
Yeah. And then you get a tug on the shoulder going, Daddy, 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 can we buy this? Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. Oh, it happens. I know. And then sold separately, and I don't know why you would really want either one of these, Gettysburg and Gods and Generals. Gods and Generals, bad film. Yes. Gettysburg is like a film version of a Civil War reenactment. And I don't need that. A lot of walking and talking, and a lot of known actors with giant beards, and then really too long fight scenes. Gods and Generals is the same way, only worse. Just really ham-fisted. No, there's the introduction to a character. I don't want to give it away. I think he figured this out, but he's a famous character and a famous person from the Civil War. And he stands on top of a stone wall. Stonewall Jackson. Yeah. Not kidding.
Wow.
Not kidding. Not kidding. And I want Ed Johnson wrote a much better description of what I just said in his original review, and it's still a story we ask Uncle Ed to tell whenever possible. So that's pretty good. So those are all out there, and of course it's getting closer to the holidays, so Blu-rays always make a great gift, especially to your film host. So, yeah, I know. We're going to work on an underwriter. Okay, Kobe, hit your music.
Oh, we're doing that.
Yes, of course we're doing that. You got a list.
Hang on.
You're not ready, are you?
I don't have my, well.
And now it's time for What is Kobe Watching?
What is Kobe Watching?
In the never-ending fight for Kobe's cinematic soul.
In one corner.
Because for a while, you were just getting new movies from one source.
Yep.
And now you're getting them from two. And occasionally, Joe Shearer.
Yeah.
By the way, Joe, nice try. So, did you return those movies to Joe?
Mm-hmm.
You did. Okay. Yeah. So you're caught up, except for me.
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You still got it.
Which ones did you give him?
Oh, man.
The ones you didn't give him? Bedazzled, On the Waterfront,
Bridge on the River,
Bridge on the River Kwai.
He's had this for like 10 years.
He's not had them for 10 years.
I've not known Matt for 10 years.
Thank you. A few months.
Hi, Tristan. Okay.
Okay.
That's my brother. He's listening
now. Oh, great. Thank you for listening. Hello. Cool. All right. So you guys saw, we'll start with what you two actually saw something in theaters together. You saw J. Edgar.
Yes, the Kobe Saves Hollywood tour rolls on this November.
Because you know we really need your dollars in November and December. That's when the
big
movies.
That's when we really need you.
Big
we really need you. Yeah, we saw J. Edgar last weekend, and the weekend before that, we went out and saw Tower Heist.
All right, let's start with J. Edgar. Because I talked to a colleague, not crazy about it. It kind of skirts past some of his darkest moments, like you know the big Red Scare. But how's the love story?
It's kind of non-existent.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's very subtle.
It hints on it to in about halfway through,
mm-hmm.
but I personally didn't know that he was gay. So
really,
I didn't know.
Ta-da! You learned something.
I know.
Thanks to the movies.
So I had kind of just thought
they talk to each other, they're being friendly, and then, you know, then it comes out. But it's not a huge part of the movie.
Okay.
It's more so about how is the FBI shaped? How did it start? Well, it starts with let's find the communists and those radicals out there. And then it kind of evolves into
kind of like a biopic.
It is a biopic. Yeah. Or as Laura Jansen always told me, I don't like biopics because they're movies about people.
Well, and there is a lot of Leo in it.
Yeah. Well, and what she says is that biopics have a very similar story arc. So yeah, I know Leo has wide face and he has old age makeup.
Wide face.
Wide
He's
face.
Got a little wide face.
We got That's wide okay. face. We got mouse face.
But not like Duck Mimi face. Rogers wide face. But no, you look at pictures of Titanic era and look at him. He's got wide face.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Wide.
Yes.
Oh.
What do you think I said?
I didn't know white. Fundamentals. White, or wide. I was like,
white
what?
Face? He's not a pacer.
Isn't that like baby? I mean, he was a baby in Titanic, so he's got this baby.
Because he was younger then. Now he's older, and he's playing older roles, and he's got old age makeup. So, okay, so you recommend it?
Yes, very much so.
And Tower Heist, an R-rated comedy with Eddie Murphy? No.
I thought it'd be funnier than it was. It was borderline a Ocean's 11.
It was very Ocean's 11.
It was supposed to be a black Ocean's 11.
Like many, a dark many, or...
No.
no, like...
No. Let me... There was a backstory. Originally, they wanted to develop this with Murphy and all the other... Chris Tucker, Cedric the Entertainer.
Oh, it's not dark comedy. You mean like...
Wow. An African-American Ocean's 11 there. How's that?
No, I was just confused. I'm sorry. I guess I should stop playing words with friends during the broadcast.
You need to watch Do the Right Thing, lady. or The Help. But not as funny as you thought. But you also have to consider, think about the last half dozen comedies Eddie Murphy's been in.
Yeah.
So I guess by comparison. Kobe? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing?
Yeah, it was.
Not hella bad?
Wanted to be more into it than what could get, but it is so similar to Ocean's 11. It's,
of course it is.
Yeah.
I was just disappointed because I was looking forward to laughing. And I didn't laugh as much as I thought I would.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
There you are.
So what has she made you watch at home?
Oh, jeez.
Don't make it sound like a chore.
I watch so much stuff, I can't remember all the stuff.
You got to write this stuff down.
I've got my list, but
okay, we watched Wanted.
Yes.
See, she's
wait a
on,
minute. Oh, yeah,
she's
that's
on
the
your
Angelina
list.
Jolie one.
That's
yeah,
a ridiculous
yeah.
action film with James
yeah,
McAvoy.
Yeah.
No?
No, I did like it. I liked Wanted. I don't like Angelina Jolie, but I like Wanted.
Okay.
We also watched Mona Lisa Smile.
And Sherlock Holmes.
Okay, wait. Holmes. You know, no pillow fight in Mona Lisa Smile. Big disappointment.
Oh, my gosh.
Julia Stiles, Julia Roberts, Maggie Gyllenhaal, Kirsten Dunst. Do the math.
I know, because that's what all girls do.
In college.
Yeah, right.
In the 50s. Yeah, I know. And then what was the other one after that? No, did you like Mona Lisa Smile, Kobe?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sherlock Holmes was after
Sherlock
that.
Holmes.
This is not your dad, Sherlock Holmes.
Love
this is not your
Sherlock
grandfather,
Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes. Emma likes Sherlock Holmes.
Love Sherlock
That's
Holmes.
Also a love story between Holmes and Watson. And seriously, that's like His Girl Friday. You know, Watson wants out of the business. Holmes can't live without him.
Yeah.
So they got he brings him back into the game. And there's another one coming out next month.
Yes.
No. So
next month? Oh,
yes, because next month's December. All the big movies that go boom and want Oscars come out in December. So, all right.
All the movies that want Oscars?
And go boom. And sometimes they do both. All right. Do we have some words to live by?
I got them this time. For the second week in a row, I got the right file.
You have
Silent
momentum.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Fair sweet Bianca, Stacy, thank you for saving the show. Hanging out with us.
Thanks for the invite.
Anytime. You know that.
Thank you.
Kobe, thanks for the steak.
Yep.
You folks, thanks for listening. Go see a good movie. Go rent a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.